Hello, welcome into episode 93 of Keith and Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a bit of a change because I have acquired twins called Jan and Ellen to talk to via Skype. I've listened to the Twin Set Design podcast from the beginning now and I recommend that you all do too. We are kindred spirits, I think, and a few months ago I asked if I could do a shared podcast and we managed to organise it just before Thanksgiving last week. They have this episode as their episode 28 and Jan's give me the file to edit as I wish. And I have cut it down quite a chunk because I wanted to put the drams at the end and that's purely all. You can listen to the whole thing with their episode 28. And I also have got a Drambuie liqueur blended whiskey as the dram section this episode. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. I've got a competition as the girls bought me the Art Felts book on felted and knitted slippers by Kat Bordy, and as I was planning to buy anyway, I thought, well, I can't just not buy it now, so what I'll do is I'll have a competition and open it up to you lovely listeners. So in Ravelry, please put on the board thread that I've going to open for. Who is your favourite person that wears slippers? I was thinking mine's Victor Meldrew. Don't know why, just think of him in slippers. But it could be Cinderella, Scrooge, there's plenty of them. And you've got until the 18th of December 2013 to sign up, and I'll put your names in the hat for this Art of Felts book, because it's for a very, very good cause to raise money for getting rid of chemotherapy if they can. Here is their blether. It was more in the sections of the twin sets, but mine are sort of wedged in there as well, and we've stolen one.
Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Jan. We've got our special guest here. I'm pretty excited, and it's not a 42-pound turkey either.
No, it's not. This guest is no turkey, and it is a first for Twin Set Designs Podcast.
It's an international first for us.
It's a Skype first for us. And it's an interview first for us, although it's not really going to be an interview. It's going to be just a fun chat with our special guest,
Louise,
from Caithness Craft Collective Podcast. Hi, Louise.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me on.
We're very excited. And thank you for having us on your podcast, too, because this is a two-way interview. It will be broadcast on both sides of the Atlantic.
It will indeed, yes. I'm looking forward to editing you out and making you sound better than me.
Say better than we do in real life.
Your podcast is one that I love and I've listened to it from the start. You feel so much like friends, even though we never met. We just talk to each other on the internet. And because I answer you back quite regularly, if I was out weeding in the garden and stuff, I thought, I should just speak to you. So that was where the idea came from. And here we are in real life. I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm so glad you had the idea and reached out to us and that we've actually managed to pull it off.
I know.
Well, we haven't actually published these yet. I think until that happens, we can't say we have.
Well, no, but this won't go live to tell them we've pulled it off unless we actually pull it off.
Oh, this is like time travel.
That's right.
Be careful.
I'm getting confused.
Don't meet your father.
Have you seen the recent Doctor Who?
Not yet, no.
Well, when you do, this is it.
Okay. By the way, listeners, the cowl that Louise is wearing is pretty close to TARDIS blue, I'd say.
Yes, can you hear the noise? I do have lots of sonic screwdrivers because of the children. And it's the wrong film, but I've got a lightsaber sitting beside me.
So one of the fun things for me about this has been because we've been in each other's ears for years, when you first got online, it did feel like we already knew each other.
Well, it's funny. Jan was saying that the other day when we did a test. And it is. It's just so normal to speak to you. I feel like I know you. And I'm glad you feel like you know me too. And as Billy Connolly said, I know you. I know you. So it's lovely to see you in real life. It really is.
So, listeners, you're only getting the audio, but we're having the pleasure of having the video feed as well.
Yeah, it's great. She's drinking tea. I can see her do that.
So, tell us, Louise, what has been going on in the patterns of your life lately?
Well, this is my What's the Crack section. So, the past week, I've been making bunting for my children's school. and
masses of bunting.
Oh, I hang my head. The parent council decided that the Christmas decorations for the hall, which we're going to put up on Monday the 2nd of December, they were falling to bits last year. So it was a suggestion, can we get some nice decorations? And then it went on, should we make some decorations? They'll last longer.
Oh.
Then it went on, well, we let the children help us. What about bunting? Some of these were my suggestions.
They sounded so good in the moment.
Oh, it did in July when it was suggested. And so it went on and somebody bought the material and I think there was 7 metres of it squared.
Good Lord.
And the pendant size for the flag is 20 by 25 centimetres. So maths gurus, not me, can work out that there's an awful lot of bunting. And then we're putting it onto bias binding tape. And the rolls, I don't know how long they were, but they were about the size of a dinner plate, wrapped round and round and round. So we used two of them, and there's still enough to do another one of them, because we didn't sew the binding over the flags over. It was all pinking sheared.
Oh, okay.
For listeners that don't know what pinking shears are, they're where you cross cut, and it gives a jaggy edge, and it's so it doesn't fray. And the idea was so that we could get the bairns to help cut. And it would take less time because we needed to do a hall's size worth of bunting. So, yeah, my neighbours on half, and we got every child in the school, and there's about 39 of them, it's not a big school, they all sewed 3 flags each. And it was quite fun. We had them all sitting one by one, took them through, and my son was first, he's 7. And he's used to using the machine with me, and he likes to use the pedal. And I can move the speed on the machine on, so he's not going to put the foot down and it's going to go mad like some machines do. So we were saying, right, this is your safety announcement. This is a sewing machine. Do not near the needle because you will get a hole in your finger. Ask me how I know. How do you know? My mother did it. Ow. They all had their 3 flags each. No children were harmed in this.
Wow. How about any adults?
Oh, me. I kept stabbing myself with pins. And so we took it home, and my neighbour, she's really, really crafty, and she finished her one, and then I finished mine. But, yeah. So that's my whole week I've been doing bunting.
Oh.
About you, what's been going on in the patterns of your life?
The big event for us was that we got all of our turkeys together, and we packed them off to Florida.
As in alive turkeys or dead turkeys?
Well, they would be dead now.
When I read that, I thought, oh, they're like flying south for the winter. Well, that's nice. Eddie dropped, oh, no, hold on. This is Thanksgiving week. Americans eat turkeys this week. Dead turkeys, dead.
Dead turkeys, they flew south to the basement freezer, didn't they?
That's right. That's right.
I got to tell you, we must be the world's worst estimators of dressed turkey weight based on looking at a live turkey. I believe last week you boldly predicted that you might have a 20-pound turkey in that lot.
Yeah, I think give me
most
credit.
Would probably be 14.
I think I said 14 to 26 pounds.
Okay, you did say 26.
Yes.
How big was the smallest turkey?
24 pounds.
How big was the biggest turkey?
42 pounds.
You're eating Big Bird.
Oh, we're eating Big Bird for Thanksgiving. No.
I believe you'll be going.
Well, it was horrible because while I'm cleaning these turkeys, you know, we took care of the slaughtering. We did it as humanely as we could. And then you eviscerate the turkey. We did all that outside. And then I brought the turkeys into the kitchen one at a time to clean them up and get them ready to be packaged up before they'd head down to the freezer, head down south as it were. And I had this flashback to bathing small children.
Oh, no.
They were
in no.
It was terrible.
I can see where you're coming from, but oh no.
Yeah, they were bigger than many toddlers.
How many did you have?
We had 10.
All right.
So we had over 280 pounds of dressed turkey now.
Mm-hmm.
We did sell a couple, but boy, we've got a ton that are going to be in the freezer. So we'll be eating turkey through the year.
Lovely. Well, turkey's not just for Christmas or Thanksgiving, is it?
Right. No. Although I won't go to the extreme of having all the side dishes and things that we do on the celebration meals.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to tell more about Thanksgiving for my listeners that aren't American. And me, actually, because I've just heard Franklin Habit's version of it.
Oh, well, we'll check that out.
Could be very similar to many American family Thanksgivings, but the origin of the holiday, of course, is around having a non-religious-based holiday. So it's not a Christian holiday or a Jewish holiday or mm-hmm. an Islam holiday or pagan or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's more of a secular holiday, but it's about giving thanks, which can take it to a sacred space for various people. Yeah. And, of course, people would give their own prayers or whatever. Its roots go back to being thankful for a good harvest and being ready to make it through the harshness of winter to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So gathering around the table with everyone who helped make that harvest happen and offering thanks for the bounty of the land, as it were. Mm-hmm. And we've extended it over the years to being grateful for many different aspects of your life and people in it or things that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, very thankful that we're doing this week.
Yes, it's one of the things I'm thankful for this year.
You saved by Louise there.
Yeah. And the rest of my time since our last podcast recording, and our last episode is going to go up today. So,
and how long is that episode? It's like an hour.
The episode's like an hour and a half because it covers 3.5 weeks of time because I was sick and we didn't get an episode done. So I'm not going to cover the material that we've covered in there. Since we recorded that episode, the only other thing I've been doing is trying to get things ready here at the house to have what will be a total of 15 people over the Thanksgiving holiday, both for the Thanksgiving meal and just for getting together with family and friends. So it's a lot of fun. How about you, Ellen? What have you been doing?
Mostly getting ready to come here for Thanksgiving. But I did want to mention, especially since Louise mentioned him, something I forgot to say in, boy, this is like Doctor Who. In the episode that hasn't been aired yet, but we already recorded, when we talked about patterns of our life, I forgot to mention one of the really fun events that I'd done, which was to go to the Knitters Guild meeting with Betsy, a.k.a. Beeville, from our Ravelry group. And we got to see Franklin Habit lecture on oddities of Victorian knitting. I don't think that's exactly what his title was, but he was sharing with us all of these crazy Victorian crafts that he had pictures of from his Weldon's book of practical needle arts and things like that.
I have heard of that, yeah.
Very amusing and such a charming man. A lot of fun to see all the knitters that night and always fun to see Betsy, and we maybe did go to Cupcake for dinner before we went to the meeting. So there were cupcakes involved. How could it be bad?
Cupcakes for dinner?
I'm on board with that. We had more than cupcakes.
But I love that.
Well, you have to have the cupcake first to make sure you have room for dessert. So that's kind of been, you know, my life again. The Wild Chess Players came again.
Did they?
Yes. Once a month, the Wild Chess Players come to our house, and we have a lot of fun, and they stay up way too late. I went to bed before they got in from the chess match this time, so I was a little better rested than last time.
You do have a crazy, crazy life.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Hanging with the chess players.
What were you drinking this time? I would like to point out that when I said hello and the girls waved at me, they waved a bottle of Glenfiddich at me. It's morning there, and it's only 1:30 here.
And then we lifted our glasses full of amber liquid.
Yes.
To show these that we really were drinking.
It was just,
of course, the glasses had iced tea in them.
I was thrilled. It didn't take much. So what were you drinking when the chess players came round?
So right now we have a bottle of Balvini open. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Balvinie.
How do you know we've got Balvini in the house? Oh, Balvini.
Balvini. Yeah. Balvini. That's what we've got in the house right now.
Yeah. Richard came home with a bottle of that yesterday. Yeah.
Excellent. We'll raise a toast to you when we get back to Minnesota.
Excellent.
I see you're knitting away there. What are you working on?
I'm working on a Harry Potter Gryffindor scarf for Sandy.
Of course it is. It's wonderful, beautiful. Would they call
burgundy and gold?
Burgundy and gold or magenta? Not magenta.
Maroon.
Maroon. Maroon and gold. Yep.
Maroon and gold. And you have to do 6 pattern repeats of the stripe, the yellow stripe or the gold stripe. So I've done that. And I'm on the last bit. And then I get to work out how to do the tassels.
I mean, you could use some bunting for it.
I just feel like I'm doing bunting stuff and I want to do fun stuff. However, but yes, that's what I'm knitting just now.
I just realized that my knitting just bit me. So I'm going to be thinking back for a little bit. I didn't put markers in to notice where I'm at.
Oh, you're working on felfs?
Yep.
Have you been bitten by the felf craze yet, Louise?
Not yet, but I could really do a new pair of slippers, so I think it's a good idea to get this book. It's a really good cause, isn't it?
It's an extraordinary cause.
Yeah, that is. It's absolutely hopeful and amazing that this is on the cards.
It would be lovely, too, if we could take credit as knitters for being the agents that helped do away with the need for chemotherapy.
Yeah, I know that my life is touched by chemotherapy indirectly and directly, and I would expect pretty much everybody around the globe says as well. So I think that the sooner that they get something in place, the brainy types, then the better.
Agreed. And I'm currently stitching away on my fog light sweater, the Bohus reproduction that I'm working on. Let me hold it up so
I can... Oh, wow. All I could see was little hands working away. And, wow. Listeners, lovely. Oh, look at
the color representation is not entirely accurate, but what do you expect from a webcam?
Well, it's close enough.
So here's my project, Louise.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at that.
I've got a row of cast-on stitches, listeners. Louise is very polite.
And she's already screwed it up.
Yeah, I've already screwed it up in the first row.
You should only do garter stitch when you're talking, I think.
That's what this is supposed to be, but I'm doing something a little special with the felf. I'm putting in a double thickness sole.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to start that double thickness at the point where the sole would start.
Oh.
I'm using Susan Newhall's blended intarsia technique. Do you know that one?
No.
There's a tutorial on Knitty I'll link to.
Can you see my head going up just now?
Yes, I can. I can see Louise shaking her head. No.
That's beyond my sphere.
It's a very straightforward technique, and she has a really lovely tutorial on it, and I'm using that to make the sole area of the slipper double weight, so it'll wear a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
I had some sky knitting yesterday on my flight in from Minnesota.
That's it.
I did. I started a little hat for charity, you know, just a man's hat. Actually, in that lime green, maybe it would be a woman's hat.
I think it would be a woman's hat, yeah.
So you never know.
Or a man who's very comfortable in his skin.
Yep. And I finished it up last night before we went to bed.
That was
Yeah, and it's just a super simple little bit of ribbing at the brim and then a plain stockinette crown.
A little toque, a little beanie.
Yep. Yeah.
I do think sometimes I overcomplicate things and find that I'm never getting something finished. And then think, why don't I just do a beanie hat, a plain and simple beanie hat? And I think that's a great idea.
It's very rewarding to have something actually done, given the state of my queue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got I don't have too many works in progress. I do have a lot of them, though. I am trying to be a little bit more quasi-monogamous, so I've got like 3 or 4 of them pulled to the front.
Uh-huh.
That are getting most of the attention.
Uh-huh.
So the sweater I'm working on now, I'm working on the swagger for our Dalcal and a couple other ones that I mentioned in the last podcast as well. So nothing's changed in
you
5 days.
Dalcal, John, would you like to explain that? What's a Dalcal for the...
Sure. The Dalcal is the Twin Set Designs Design Along Knit Along.
Mm-hmm.
And we are using my pattern Swagger as the basis for the Dalcal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a contest as well if you complete it. If you complete the pattern as written, you get one entry into a drawing for a skein of Wollmeise Twin, which is a beautiful...
Oh, it's there. Look.
Yeah.
I almost touched.
It's cut, I would say Chewbacca colored.
Yeah.
And if you take the pattern and you make a modification to it somehow, making it smaller or larger or some kind of change to it, then you get a bonus entry into the drawing for the Wollmeise.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, and it's going to run until about the middle of December, so there's still time.
It lists, for my listeners, this is Jan's pattern that I reviewed. Oh, I remember sitting down at the harbour and it was warm. It certainly is not warm today. So it's been out for a little while. It's called Swagger and it's a beautiful shawl. And it's very well written and there's lots and lots of information in it. And it's written just like the way Jan speaks, as you can hear. So go look that up, please, listeners.
There is one more update coming, Louise, so it won't be 12 pages, it'll be 13. But the 13th page is just for you.
Oh, I bet it is as well. It's okay, we've got new ink in the printer.
Good. Well, the 13th page is going to be titled Just the Facts.
Uh-huh.
And it will be the stripped-down version of just the pattern itself.
So you could just
You could look at the whole thing on the computer and only print out that one page to follow the pattern.
Oh, I love you.
I want to save your printer ink.
Great, yeah. That is a really good idea because sometimes you want to cart around the book or all the pattern or you get muddled or something like that. So it's really good just to have the part of the pattern that you're working on at that time.
Bare essentials.
Yeah. You said you've been bitten by your knitting, Ellen.
In order to set up to do the double layer part, it meant that I needed to start the double layer part at stitch 20 after my cast on. But instead, I was somewhere on stitch 45 and noticed I hadn't started the double part yet, so I had to take back. But the other place I've been bitten by my knitting recently, and it's also something that I've got on the runway, I brought Forever in the Forest with me, mm-hmm. which is my Forest Path stole. It's an interlock lace pattern. So you do small little blocks of lace in an interlock fashion so they're all woven together. It's beautiful.
And again, my head blows up with the thought. Wow.
Well, it made my head blow up because on the airplane my reading light wouldn't work. And so I'm leaning over into Wilson's light trying to see what's going on, and I kept muddling it up and having to tink back. But, you know, nibbles more than horrible. I didn't have to frog anything back terribly, but it was challenging. Maybe I
imagine Wilson probably didn't appreciate it.
He had fallen asleep, so he didn't care. I did want to mention that I got to see a gorgeous Forest Pathway stole in real life. It was at the Knitting Pipeline Maine Retreat, and it was knit by Gail, who is Cottontail on Ravelry, and it is just fabulous. Louise is in my brows just furrowed because we're both insanely jealous of not being able to go to that Maine Knitting Retreat. It was so much fun.
Yes.
And when you plan your trip to the States, Louise, I think you should plan it around the time of the Knitting Pipeline Maine Retreat.
Well, when Paul was here in April, she was telling me all about it. And I was pea green there, and I've been pea green until now, and I'm still pea green with envy.
Me too.
Well, can I be your triplet today?
Yes, of course. We're pretty open in our family boundaries. So anybody we really care for, we just say you're part of the family. Well, we kind of like the family you choose as opposed to the family you were born to.
Yeah, there is that.
Louise has some pretty good incentive for bringing her into the family because she has those adorable bairns.
Yes, she does.
And we're shy on grandchildren. No pressure to our daughters. But, you know, I'm always happy to take on some little ones.
Oh, you can borrow mine. No problem whatsoever. Every day about 5 o'clock.
It is the hardest job, and we've done some really tough jobs, both of us, in our lives. But
mothering is the hardest.
I think mothering is is the most challenging. Feel like you have the most at stake.
Yes. And there's no let up. But you don't want her to be let up either, do you?
That's right. It's also the most rewarding.
Right. Now, I had an idea that the network girls often purloin parts of other people's podcasts that they like. And I thought it might be fun if we purloined.
Purloined.
So, Jack, which one do you think we should purloin?
Well, Paula has been on our mind quite a lot lately.
Yes.
Paula from Knitting Pipeline.
Yes.
Especially with all of the work that she's been doing to help with the tornado relief efforts in Central Illinois. Ellen's making faces at me.
I can see that.
Hard to make me laugh. So it may seem pretty low for us to do this. Stop it.
Okay.
It may seem pretty low for us to do this while she's so busy, But while she's not looking, I think we could probably get away with purloining high note, low note. But what do you think?
I think it's a wonderful idea. Would you like to start with your high note?
Well, my high note has to be the fact that the three of us have been able to get together to do this Skype conversation.
You've stolen mine.
I figured I did. Louise.
You gave away firsties.
That's right. You have to learn how to work with her.
You see that point? I'm kicking myself.
I think it's fair if we all agree that our high note is having the chance to talk together.
Yes. Unless I tell you something more interesting.
Nope, that would be my high note as well. I'll toss in, just to heap on the gravy on Jan, you know, getting to come to the farm and meet the alpacas and spend Thanksgiving with Janice and her family is a high note as well. And my daughters and son-in-law are coming as well.
It must be cool.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving week all together, we have a lot to be grateful for.
Yes, you do. We've got St. Andrew's Day on Saturday, so we'll all be probably ignoring it as usual. But it's a chance to have haggis and a dram. So happy St. Andrew's Day to all my Scottish listeners. And happy Thanksgiving to all my new American listeners.
Yay.
Anybody got a low note?
I do have a low note. It's resolved now. But we almost did not have this conversation because Skype did an upgrade that caused it to fail in its interactions with the recording software that I have.
Oh.
And I had to scramble with it for about 2.5 hours the other day to finally get things working again. It was very aggravating, and I have learned my lesson about having Skype set to do automatic updates. Uh-huh. I'm going to control those updates in the future in the hopes of avoiding this kind of shenanigans down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But wasted time, definite low note for me.
It does feel like wasted time when that happens. Ellen, have you got a low note?
It's a pretty minor low note. Because we've traveled by airplane for Thanksgiving, I'm not able to have a pie from the cherries from my own tree in the backyard for Thanksgiving, which has been a tradition. But boy, if that's your low note, life is pretty darn good.
I would say so. My low note, I would say, was just learning about the tornado. Because it's Paula's section, I thought we could maybe give her this low note, because that can have been very easily happened.
Oh, and it must that be, goes to that thing, yeah.
Well, I couldn't think of anything else.
Well, so. it doesn't get much lower than that, but even that one's coming with the high notes of everybody pitching in and helping. And
yeah.
I will remind folks that in the middle of having maybe some low notes of your own to think about that perspective, and it made me feel better to go to their church website and click on that donate button, even for just a few dollars. Mm-hmm. That little bit, I did put in the note, another knitter to help. So I encourage knitters to do that, and it's another chance for us to be a kindness of knitters in the world.
Yeah.
Makes you feel kind of bad about that cherry pie thing, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I have no low notes, none whatsoever.
Do you know, I would be walking up the hill just now listening to this, and I could just see your face looking at Ellen going, yep.
Well, Louise, I have so enjoyed having this opportunity to chat with you today, and since I figured out the technology to do it, I hope we can do it again sometime.
Oh, that would be lovely. It really would be. It would be good fun.
It's so fun getting to laugh with one more person, and especially when that person's you, Louise.
Thank you very much. I've had such a lovely time, and it's been wonderful to actually meet and talk to you, even though we're still, you're in America still. But I feel like you're in my sitting room, and it's been wonderful. I've had so much fun, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Louise.
You're so welcome, Louise. We had a great time.
And don't forget, don't knit like my sister.
Don't knit like my sister.
Knit like me. Don't stop.
Wasn't it fun? Once you get past the fangirl, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you more, which I'm not going to apologise for because they are wonderful. I couldn't help it. But the laughing is wonderful. I enjoyed listening back, and Jan's edited it down from 2 hours, bless her. She did a really good job. And I listened while I put the last coat of varnish on my stair banister, which is now complete. Hurrah! I can now put the holly line up, wound round it, or maybe some bunting. Well, that was the idea. The bunting. We put it up on Monday, and it looks fabulous in the school, because it goes round and round and up and down and round, and the bairn seemed quite happy because everyone bairn came in and he says, look what you did, and they smiled. I've also finished Sandy's Gryffindor scarf, which is wonderfully warm, and it goes round his little neck quite a few times. Daisy obviously wants hers now, but she's going to have to wait because I'm doing loads of stuff for this craft fair on the 14th of December, and I'll tell you more about all them on the next episode. And on to the drams. After this, there's only blah 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 stuff, apart from going to my Etsy shop, please, and buy yourself a wee Christmas gift. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Drambuie blended liqueur whiskey.
We're drambuying. We hope you like drambuying too.
Hello and welcome into this episode of the Drams.
Not strictly a dram.
Who knows?
Well, it's a blend.
Oh, yeah, well, it's still whiskey.
It is.
Of a sort. And it's
a liqueur whiskey.
And a dram doesn't just have to stick to a whiskey, does it?
Of course not.
And also, Richard is going to drink
a wee half and a half. I'm going to have a Windsor Knot, which is a Royal Windsor Ale, kindly given to myself, gifted to me by your friend.
Rose.
And thank you very much, Rose. And the Windsor Knot is a knot that you stick in your tie when you wear a tie, which I don't often, but yes, anyway. So I have this Windsor Knot, which I've never had before, and I quite like my ales. A Windsor Knot was originally brewed to celebrate the marriage of His Royal Highness Prince William and Kate Middleton in April 2011. We felt swans were a perfect symbol because of their royal associations and that they pair for life. True love birds. Windsor Knot is made with the finest natural ingredients, including two specially selected hops, Sovereign and Nelson Sauvin. Together they make a great couple, giving a refreshing taste and exotic fruit aroma. I'm looking forward to this because I do like, I like a citrusy, sharp, fruity ale. Okay. A pale ale is normally my thing. No box, a wee bottle.
Got a bonny blue top. It's quite dark, isn't it?
It's darker than the usual pale ale, mm-hmm. But...
Sniff.
Yep, beauty. I'm not smelling any swans. I know someone that knows a good joke about swans.
Who?
Oh, was that ducks?
Who?
You.
This is a family podcast. We are not doing the swan joke.
I know, I'm only kidding. I know it's not appropriate for many listeners. Right, that's a wee... Oh, I like that. Mmm.
Thank you, Rose. Can I have a wee taste?
Do you have a wee taste?
Beer.
I knew you'd say that.
It's quite sharp.
That is. It's sharp on the sort of the darker beers are generally, I think, quite a lot heavier. But that's quite a nice light beer. I like that. I do. I like that.
Good. So, on to the Drambuie. Now, it didn't come in a case, did it?
No.
Right.
I'm just going to go and sit over here and enjoy my drink.
Okay, well, I'll describe the bottle. So we had no tub this time. Drambuie is a blend of whiskies and it's called a liqueur. And the bottle itself is...
It's quite distinct.
Yes, it is. It's got quite a bony Celtic-y type of...
It's kind of Rennie McIntosh-y, I would say.
It's
D, two and an inverted D.
Yeah, it's two Ds together and then... One's back to front on it, and in a bony sort of silver colour, and the bottle label is blue, gold, silver and red.
I'm seeing a trend here, actually, because you've got two wee swans here.
Mm-hmm. On your Windsor Knot.
On my Windsor Knot, apparently symbolising the...
Well, that one's Kate and that one's William.
Kate and William, but I've never looked at them and thought, you look like a swan. I've never thought that. But now I'll have to have a better look next time I see them.
Well,
you got the D there, the kind of...
Yeah, we've got a lovely package from Rose talking about...
I thought you were going to say Kate or William.
I don't know her. But I don't know whether she was... So we've got a lovely package from Rose with loads of information about Windsor. And it made it really personable and much more interesting to go and visit something. Because she wrote a lovely... Now, you would walk up here and you would see this, and then she had whatever, see, she knew the person that worked there, and it was very personable and much more to the town that she lives in than what you would expect.
Very passionate as well.
Yeah, it was really lovely.
And I'd love to see her handwriting after she did that pub crawl. But how many pubs was it? 14 pubs or something?
Yeah, there was a postcard and there was loads. It was reminding me of that film, The World's End. So back to the Drambuie. What shape is the bottle?
Well, it's a short, rotund, round bottle.
Yes.
With it's kind of got flute things in here.
At the top and the shoulder. And on the bottom.
Quite stocky.
Yeah, it's quite stocky. And on the bottom, it's got Drambuie embossed into the glass. On the back, we've got drinkaware.co.uk. 28 units in this bottle. And
you need a wee bit of there that tells you about there.
Aye. Drambuie, the unique blend of aged Scotch whisky, spices and heather honey, made to a recipe closely guarded since 1745. Now that makes me think of something. We'll come back to that. Its rich golden colour, no mention of Chewbacca, complex aroma and depth of flavour offer a taste of the extraordinary. That's their tagline, a taste of the extraordinary. Experience Drambuie neat over ice or mixed long with ginger beer and fresh lime or in a cocktail like the classic Rusty Nail.
We would have ice, but we decided we wouldn't have ice tonight. Why is that, dear?
Because for some reason it smelled of fish.
Your fridge smells of fish.
Well, we do have quite a bit of fish in the freezer.
We need to eat some of the fish.
Yes, I think so.
Or have a separate bit for the fish.
And it's 40% alcohol volume, and this is a 700 milliliter bottle. Mm-hmm. So, would you like to open? Is it a cork or is it a screw cap?
It's a cork, I think. No, I tell a lie. It's a screw cap.
Okay, imagine a cork opening there, listeners.
Smell that.
Oh,
smells lovely.
Sweet.
Now, I think the other one that's worth mentioning, the other sort of, I guess, rival or similar drink to Drambuie is...
A Gleva,
which is also very nice, but it's a bit cheaper. It's always cheaper for some reason.
Maybe it's not got the same blends that they put in this.
Must be cheaper blends.
I think
I'll be splitting hairs between the two of them. I don't drink it an awful lot.
No,
but,
it's very sweet.
Aye.
And...
it's the kind of drink you have for your mother.
My mother doesn't drink. Your mum drinks a Drambuie?
Oh, aye.
Oh, okay. Aye. Right.
Okay. Do you want the big glass or the little glass?
There's a little glass. You sure? I don't want a big glass. It's got an argyle pattern on the bottom of it. Might as well use it up. Hey, listeners, we've done a little bit of reconnaissance again.
About months ago.
We bought this ages and ages ago with intentions of doing it, and we never ever quite got round to drinking it. Well... no, that's like we never quite got that sound is sound of Richard banging the bottle against his tongue to get the last drops out. We never quite got round to actually doing a drams on this yet, so we've been waiting. Now, colour in the glass here.
I would certainly say that was a Chewbacca that's freshly out the bath with a full moisturise.
Yes, I would agree. Chewbacca, definitely Chewbacca.
Yes.
And...
yeah.
You have to swirl it round the glass and see how far long it takes. But then it's not a real... It's not a malt.
No, it's not a malt. But I mean,
is that not the sticky bits that's sticky?
Yeah, that'll be the honey and the sugar and everything.
Yeah. Expect sweet when you're thinking about this.
Well, very sweet.
Yes. And if you don't
full fat toddy.
Correct.
Not the diet toddy.
No.
A full fat toddy.
Yes, I don't expect this would be very good for you if you're on a diet.
But very good if you've got a sore throat,
yes,
or you've got a wee bit of hankering a cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Good after dinner drink as well.
Very good.
Yes, because it's got sweet and the alcohol. Mm-hmm. We used to drink these flaming...
that was Zambugas, was it not?
No, we would drink flaming Drambuies in the pub.
You're mental, though.
Well, what you'd do is you would get... and it was a little, round, small dram glass... and you would put your lighter to it, because back in the day more people smoked. I've never smoked, but there was always somebody had a lighter. And you set fire to it, because obviously it's pure alcohol. And you would let it flame a little bit. You would put your hand over the glass to extinguish the flame. And then you would take it off and down it in a oner. And it was always nice and warm. But, yeah.
Mental.
I think I had one night that I had too many. And I never touched it in years. So, would you like to put some water in it, please? But it's nice with ice. out more. And dribble all over my leg as well.
Do you want some more?
Yes, please. Thank you. You can see it's going a bit cloudy there, look.
I see that.
That must be the...
It doesn't like it.
No, it doesn't like it.
Foreign bodies and matter.
Well, what is this?
I'm going to stick to being Puritan.
Quite right. Right, slange fa.
Slange fa. Right, oh, smell. Smell first.
We're not doing very well. I've got a list as well.
Honey.
Yeah, honey.
Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Decay of teeth. Oh, the dentist drill. Oh, no, that's a sound, not a smell.
The hygienist going, ha, 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 this is going to cost you money. Do you know what I'm smelling? Tasting.
No, I'm getting.
The Backer Bar in Wick.
No, I'm not. You know what I'm getting?
And the Queen's Bar in Wick, where it's where we used to do the flaming trapeze.
I don't know why, I've never had it before. I've got a right aniseedy taste.
It is. Yeah, it is aniseedy. Mm. Yep, definitely.
I've never put my finger on that before, but aye, definitely aniseedy. And honey and sugar.
You getting heather?
Aye, maybe. At a stretch. On a perfect idyllic day when I'm not noticing the midges, the wind, them chopping my ankles, the rain, the mist, the fog. No, not die. I'm just thinking because my last excursion at the heather very recently on Monday was kind of basically like that. But no, in a beautiful, hot, balmy, roasting, hot, sunny day when everything just to smell the pollen coming off the heather and that. And yes, I could get heather.
It coats your throat as it goes down, and you can actually hear the difference in my voice already. Now, I didn't have a sore throat particularly.
You sound much nicer.
I don't sound quite as Marge Simpson now.
I've got nothing to say to that. Oh, me!
There's not much tasting notes. What did you think of the website?
Well, we've got really, really, really poor broadband just now, so the website was a bit of a... It came out with all the kind of nonsense about 1745 and that immigrant guy
that
came over here and started fighting and creating lots of ruckus.
Bonnie Prince Charlie gave this recipe to some dude in Skye who then went and started...
Broadford.
Some dude in Skye.
On Broadford.
In Broadford. Was his name Broadford?
No, in Broadford.
Some dude in Broadford in Skye, and then he moved to Edinburgh and they started doing this dram, and it was the first liqueur to the Houses of Parliament.
Which is ironic, really. And the fact that the
Bonnie Prince
young
Charlie.
French immigrant terrorist guy that was over here trying to start fights was trying to kick him out.
He was.
And
it's a good job it was a long time ago, eh? Right, we can't do where the area's from because it's a blend of different Scotch whiskies.
Well, it's blended in.
But it's blended in Broxburn.
Broxburn, West Lothian.
West Lothian. And so, there you go. It's really nice if you want a liqueur. I'd recommend having it over ice. I would love to have it, as it suggests, with ginger ale. I think that would be really nice.
Yeah, it would die.
And just drink very little of it.
It does get very sickly if you have too much.
Yes, you just need one, at the most two, in one sitting. So who are you having round for a dram, miss?
Mm.
Oh, St Andrew's Night too, we're recording on.
Oh, St Andrew's Night, yes. So we're drinking English beer and a French-inspired liqueur. Don't shake your head. I'm just looking at the irony of the whole thing. Who am I having round for a dram?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to have my mate. It's a bit of a kind of tedious link, this one, or tenuous link. I'm having my mate, Davy Corbett, round for a dram.
Why are we having Davy Corbett?
Well, the first time I went to a wee bar in Glasgow called the Cloth of Vaults was with a mate of mine called Davy Corbett, and I dragged him to this bar, which we'd never been to. We were quite young, very young in fact, and we went for a night out. But because my father's mad for bluegrass music, and I don't mind it, I've kind of grown up listening to it, so I don't mind some of it, but it used to specialise in having bluegrass afternoons and bluegrass mornings. So one, I think it was a Saturday afternoon, we went up to the Cloth of Vaults and had a few beers, and ironically, we came in at the end of one session, and by the time we'd had quite a few beers, it was just the start of the next session and we had to move on, so we didn't actually listen to that much bluegrass. But the crack was great in there, and the people were really friendly. And it's a right old-school Glasgow bar.
Mm.
Well, it was, because there was a bad accident last night with a helicopter. crashed into the top of it, and unfortunately people have died and stuff. So it just got me thinking about when I went in there the first time, and that was then.
It's so funny, because I'm going to have all the people that were in the bar, because they wouldn't have finished their drinks. And
no,
the stories that came out of the people that didn't run out, they came out the bar straight away, but then they realised there was people trapped, so they all went back in.
And all the folk from around the street ran
to it instead of running away. Yeah. And nobody really knew what had happened.
Well, they knew a helicopter had gone in the top.
The people in the bar didn't.
No, the people in the bar didn't. No,
there was one guy that was talking to Dean. He just come out the bar. He was probably having a fag. He went into the bar just as it happened. He went, took people straight out, took somebody across the road who was actually ex-military, and he'd seen the accident, and he knew what happened pretty well. So they went back to the bar. They were getting people out. He was the one that first phoned, or was one of the first to phone the emergency service to explain what happened, and he was the first ones to speak to the ambulance and the fire engines when they came. So I'd like to invite them all round.
And finish their drink.
And finish their drink. Mm-hmm. And we raised a glass to those that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Awful sad.
Sounds about.
Sounds about.
Yeah.
That did show.
That's quite funny, because neither of us...
Either of us said anything. But it's quite appropriate with it being St Andrew's Night that the human spirit in Glasgow, whereas they might be quite brusque, they're looked out for each other. And I think it's just human nature.
It's human nature.
But in its best qualities.
Aye.
So...
Well, it's a cracking lot. Well, it was. Hopefully it'll be reborn. But it was a cracking wee bar.
Mm, it's not a place I ever went to. Driven past.
I didn't go very often, but I used to go. I used to start all my afternoon sessions there when I was young and foolish and daft. And yes, anyway, enough of that.
So I think that was a bit. Would you recommend Drambuie?
No, definitely.
And your Windsor Knot?
Yes, I would happily have another Windsor Knot. I think I like, when I'm working away, I quite often like having the local beer. Uh-huh. So I think probably next time we're down London way, we might go to Windsor.
Well, if you get to go to Windsor, to Centrica, that's where they're
very work. True, yeah.
And I would just like to actually meet Ros in person. It would be really nice to get shown round the wonderful
14 pubs in that postcard.
Even Sandy was reading them out, going, what are they? Hello, where were you on Monday?
Oh, Monday, I went for a wee cycle.
Tell the listeners where you went on Monday.
Oh, I'm still sore. I went for a wee cycle. It's something I've wanted to do for quite some time, and I wanted to do it with one of my cycling colleagues, but nobody really had the time or the motivation to do it as much as I did. So I planned it out in length, as I do with these things, because I haven't done any big kind of expeditions for a long time. Anyway, I went down to a place called Argai, which is near a bit called Bona Bridge, and the Dornoch Firth, which is a saltwater estuary, and on the east coast of Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I cycled from the east coast of Scotland through to a town called Ullapool, over through sort of basically cross-country on a mountain bike, on old tracks and estate tracks and roads and stuff, through to a place called Ullapool, which is on the west coast of Scotland. And it is reportedly the shortest coast-to-coast route of about 37.5 miles, and then I turned around and came back again, and I got back, I left in the dark knowing it was just getting light, and I got back as it was getting dark, or had just got dark.
Yeah, the days are quite short here now.
And I was broken.
I
was a very tired, sore individual, but I did it. I took all my gear, because there's a bothy about not quite halfway, which is a great wee bothy, actually, the Duig Bridge bothy. And I had my bivy kit, so I could have kept out.
What's a bothy?
A bothy is it's basically a derelict old croft or shieling or building house type thing of varied state of disrepair. But there's a bothies association where people generally try and keep them wind and water tight. There's no electricity or running water or anything. It's very, basically it's a sheltered room or rooms, and they're open to the public, anybody, but they're in really
isolated
back and beyond places. As I say, as a both the association that look after them, and you can go out and kip in them. It saves you carrying a tent, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put stuff down. But some are good, some are not so good. Some of them are being a bit abused by people,
mm-hmm.
burning the wood and stuff in them. And this one in particular was excellent condition.
Yeah, there you go.
So they're a great testament of Scotland, I would say, mm-hmm. in the fact. Well, they have them in England and Wales too.
Mm-hmm.
But I've stayed in them many times.
Mm-hmm.
And good and bad ones.
Mm-hmm. So. Our guy is in a place, it's on the old A9 north from Inverness. And you used to have to come from Inverness, you would go north and then you would go to Tain. And then you go all the way inland, and then you go all the way outland, round the Dernagh Forth. And in 1993-ish, because I can't remember exactly when it was, they built the Dernagh Forth Bridge, so it cut all that bit out. But there was this road that went from Alness on the east coast, and then it would go up, round, and then you would meet this road to Tain, and it was called the Strewy. And Richard always used to think I was mad because occasionally we'd take this and he says, you're not taking any less time. And I was like, yeah, but you actually have to drive it. So you're not just sitting monged out in front behind a car, a big long line of traffic. And you have to drop gears and concentrate and pay attention. And there's some mad corners on it. But he didn't appreciate that this was the cut-off to go right round the Dernagh Firth. And you would have cut out Tain because at that point in time the road was pretty bad there. And the Strewy Hill never used to get gritted in the winter on a Sunday. So it wasn't advisable if the weather was a bit ropey. But there's a part of it and you come down and you look up and down the Dernagh Firth and you can see Bonar Bridge at one side and over to Tain on the other, and it's called the Million Dollar View. Well, it might actually not be, but that's what my auntie JC called it. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful spot of the world.
Very pretty.
And you go past the road that Ian Rankin mentions in Standing in Another Man's Grave, which I pointed out to you, Paula, when you were here. And it's worth going just once in every 5 years, I'd say, for if you live north, because if you've got time to spare. So we went on reconnaissance and we went to Bonar Bridge and we went through Argyll. And in Argyll there was the old cafe called Lady Ross Cafe, which is where we always used to stop for our bacon rolls and our cups of tea and stuff. And sadly now it's derelict because it doesn't have the through traffic. So it was a bit of a blast from the past for me to go through. And then just as we were coming back to the A9, we saw a field full of geese and three roe deer in the field, so stop the car and I'll take a photograph. So I've got one of them on my Instagram pictures. There's only two deer in the car because the one ran off. But it was really nice.
That is very picturesque. Yeah. I'm up and down the A9 like a fiddler's elbow.
And
so
you didn't realise that.
I'd never knew that was the traditional, the old route. Mm. So every day's a school day. What I want to know is, what did you do with the mound? Was there a road round that?
I've never known it not to be a mount of road there, but there would have been.
Aye.
Up round.
Aye, there is a road either side.
Mm-hmm. The train goes that way.
Aye.
But
aye.
I don't ever remember the mound not being there. Aye. I think the mound's quite an old road. So in that note, I didn't go cycling. I have to hasten to point this out, and I was a bit watching the clock.
I haven't been cycling all week. I'm not sore anymore, but it was 55, 60 miles in a day. But it was -3. The problem was
that you had a lovely time down
the ups and downs slopes were iced, so you couldn't get traction going up, and it was quite hard to control going down. And on the flat, there was lots of puddles, and they were all kind of ice encased, so you went straight in them and lost all traction. But it was good. I had all the gear. I could have slept anywhere. I had food, my stove.
Be better doing it in the summertime. Oh,
guaranteed. And I've already got people lining up to do it with me now.
Good.
Now that I've proven that they would go out and probably spend the night in Ullapool or at the Duig Bridge, and I'd even take me Sandy out or Daisy maybe in a couple of years.
Well, she'll need to go on a bike first.
Well, he wouldn't cycle out, he'd walk it.
Aye.
But there's people that are up for it now.
Excellent.
Sometimes it takes a wee while, just takes a wee bit of effort to prove it can be done.
Aye.
And then people want to do it knowing that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think people don't like the challenge of doing something thinking it might not be possible. If they know it might be a challenge, but it's doable, then they'll do it. Mm-hmm. But if they go into it thinking...
Like drinking the Strambuie.
Yes. But no, like I went there half expecting I would have to spend the night sleeping rough,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't at the end of the day, but it was always
your
the option.
And your cross country.
It's good. I've got other plans.
Oh, right, listeners. Well, we'll look forward to hearing them on another episode of The Drams. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. And not just me this episode. It was really a pleasure to speak to Jan and Ellen. My email is katenesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest and Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site, which is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side of it. The music was from Jara with Gatsby Sound again, because I still like the beat, and you can go buy this from musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and do keep on crafting.